All right, I want you to turn into your Bibles to actually 1 Timothy chapter 1 as way of introduction. And we've been coming through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you know, for the last several weeks, and we've looked at Paul's exhortation as far as us being exhorted to continue to walk and to please God, and we're going to do that by following the commandments that he's laid out for us. These last 2 weeks we looked at sanctification and understanding what that word is all about and living a life that is separated for God's service, and that we not live according to the flesh, things that are uncleanness, because he's called us to holiness, or again to live a sanctified life. Well, today we're going to be looking at adoration and really looking at this aspect of love. And it's something that we've seen already before in this letter to the Thessalonians, but it comes up again. And so we're going to be dealing with it in more detail, because I think one of the things that we have seen often through the years is the word love is just kind of thrown out there for anything. We love this, we love that, and so forth and so on. And really the idea of love that the world has is really just kind of relegated to some emotion or some feeling. And when that emotion or that feeling goes away, then you don't love anymore. Whatever that is, the person or whatever the subject or whatever the situation is, that sort of thing. I mean, there's probably not a time that I will not love popcorn, as I talk about that, and people have been reminding me of that since I said it in preaching. There probably will be a time that I will have an affection for popcorn, you know, and chocolate chip cookies. But there are some things that, you know what, it's kind of like, you know, I really don't like that anymore. But here's the thing. It's like biblical love is not like that. It's not coming and going on a whim or just whatever, and you feel like it today or not. And it's like, even in the church, we see focus to where churches are talking about, yeah, we're just going to focus on the love of Christ and so forth. And I get that and understand. Obviously, and I'm not talking against that. But it's more coming across as words as opposed to actual meaning and what it's all about as far as the love of Christ or the love of God and what that's all about. Well, today we're going to look at that. We're going to really look at the importance of that, especially in the day and age that we live in. One of the things that Jesus Christ says when his disciples ask him, what's going to be the signs of you coming again and all these things taking place that Christ is laying out, one of the things that he says in Matthew 24 and verse 12 is that iniquity is going to abound, so the love of many shall wax cold. Now, we don't have to worry about the tribulation period. We're not going to be going through that. We'll talk about that in our coming days in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and so forth, or even later in chapter 4. But still, obviously, we're in the time period before that, and we can see that today, to where iniquity is abounding, and the idea of really love is waxing cold. People just have, I mean, turn on the TV. I mean, people are doing violence to people and harm to people, and it's just like, what in the world's going on? Well, it's because of the iniquity and sin that's abounding. But one of the things that Paul warns us about, if you're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to look down in verse 5. I've mentioned this reference, I think, before, not too terribly long ago, but I want us to see it again as a way of introduction to what we're going to see today. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says this. This is a letter that Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. So, charity of a pure heart and a faith unfeigned. The last time we were here at this reference, we were talking about our faith. And it's like those are the two things that people fake a lot, is dealing with charity or love and faith. Fake love, fake faith. And so it's something that we need to deal with today. And we see where Paul, as you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he is encouraging the Thessalonians to continue to grow and increase in their love. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, this is what we're going to cover today. It says this, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So in verse 9, we're going to look about being taught of God to be able to love. And in verse 10, again, encouraged to grow. So let's have a quick word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see out of these two verses today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for today. I thank you for the things that you have been showing us week by week as we've been coming through this book. Our focus this year, as you know, what you've laid on my heart is to be able to preach the Word of God, to be able to share the truth, that all of us would have that opportunity and open doors to be able to share what we know from the Word of God, to be able to help others out. And if there's anything that we need to see as being a part of that vision, is a true biblical love, because we're going to see that that's what love is all about being able to give your Word and obviously so much other things, but specifically it's tied back to the Word of God. If I love you, then I'm going to share truth with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to understand what a biblical love is all about and help us to be able to increase and grow in it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's dig into this. Verse 9. It says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you." So it's almost like, well, okay, well, why is he writing unto the Thessalonians about something that they don't need to know about? All right? God has taught them about that. Well, again, it's like the Thessalonians was a great church doing what was right, but obviously there is a need. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be here in Scripture, because we're going to see that it's not a matter of just staying where you're at with how you love, but to be able to grow in it, as we'll see. But again, in verse 9 it says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Now, this is an important principle to understand. It's like, obviously you guys are here. Hopefully, you know, you're here to be able to learn something from the Word of God. You're hoping and trusting that I've spent time in the Word of God to be able to teach you something. But in all reality, it's God is the one that we need to be looking to teach us. That's why it's important to have a personal relationship with the Lord. I want to just go back to the Old Testament real quick. I want you to go to the book of Psalms. Remember, that's a big book in the middle of your Bible. I want you to look at Psalm 86. I'm going to look down at verse 11, because it's a prayer that David has. And again, David is looking to the Lord to teach him. And so, as we talk about this subject of biblical love today, that's what our prayer needs to be. It's like, Lord, you teach us how to properly love one another. All right? What is biblical love? How do I apply it into my life? How can I grow in that? And you see David praying that for the Lord to teach him. Now, it's not specific to just dealing with the subject of love, but just dealing with God wanting, or David wanting God to teach him. If you look down to Psalm 86 and verse 11, here's his prayer request. It says this: "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." I love this last phrase: "Unite my heart to fear thy name." It's like he wants to have a single focus on fearing God and being able to walk according to the truth of God and understanding that it's going to be God, the one that's going to teach him the way. And it's like, that should be our prayer all the time. Every time, every day, we come to the Word of God, and hopefully, you know, you spend some time in the Word of God on a daily basis. That should be our prayer. Lord, you teach me. Teach me your way. Teach me how to walk according to the truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. In other words, that my heart is focused on my walk and relationship with you. And so, as we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's like, that should be our prayer request. Lord, you teach us how to love. All right, you have taught us, you have shown us, we're going to see that example in Christ himself, but Lord, you teach me how to do that, because I'm going to tell you right now from the get-go, there's no way you can biblically love somebody without understanding and without, how I want to say it, getting that ability from God himself. Because we're not just talking about loving the people that you get along with, it's about loving everyone, all right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's look at this. Let's read verse 9 one more time. It says this: "But as touching brotherly love, ye have need, or excuse me, ye love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." I want you to turn back to the book of Romans real quick, just a few pages back to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look down in verses 9 and 10. So from 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10, the Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And in Romans chapter 12, it's a great chapter that deals with, again, how we kind of function within the body of Christ, within the local church, and the different gifts and abilities that God has given us to be able to help edify one another. And I want you to notice what it says here, verses 9 and 10. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation." What does that mean? That big long word, dissimulation, basically means hypocrisy. All right? It goes back to what we looked at the very introductory verse of 1 Timothy 1:5. Charity out of a pure heart. All right? Because a lot of times we can say we love something or love somebody, but in reality, our actions show totally different. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." Notice verse 10, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love." The same phrase we're seeing in 1 Thessalonians 4. "In honor, preferring one another." we should desire and want to spend time together. All right? We should be excited for Sunday. We're going to spend time together in the Word, time together in worshiping and just and being able to enjoy our relationship that we have in Christ. We should desire to do that, preferring one another. And this is that emotional or feeling side of it, because it talks about that word affection in verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Again, and we're going to look at a couple other references here in a second, as far as really laying into what that love is all about. But there is that. We should have the desire to want to spend time together. That's why it was so tough when, over a year ago, when we were not meeting because of COVID and everything going on. It's hard when you are separated from family and friends, and again, as a body of Christ, to be able to catch up on what's going on in people's lives, again, to be able to share a relationship one with another that we have with Christ. But we should desire that. And that's been the shame. Sometimes you get used to being apart, and you get used to that, and it's like we're missing out on what we have to offer one another with our relationship with Christ. We should desire to want to be together. Now, I want you to go over to Ephesians real quick. So we're going back towards 1 Thessalonians, but I want you to stop at Ephesians in chapter 4. And this is something we've seen before, but I want to remind you of it. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're just going to look down at verses 15 and 16. This is part of a passage that deals with what a local church should be doing. All right? When we really talk about, you know, a church focused on the love of Christ and your relationship with the Lord, I get that. But this is the bones of what really that should be. All right? We shouldn't be just saying it in word. We shouldn't be saying, well, that just is it, you know, we're not focused, quote unquote, on doctrine, just the love of God. No. The love of God is something that's doctrinal. Because notice what it says in Ephesians 4. I want you to pick it up in verse 15. This verse starts out this way, especially in the context of not being deceived in verse 14. Verse 15 says this, but speaking the truth how? In love. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him, which is Christ, in all things, in every aspect of your life, which is the head, even Christ. Hold on to that, because Christ is the head of the body. We're going to see that in a little bit by the end of this message. In verse 16, it goes on, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, how? Unto the edifying of itself in love. True love, biblical love, you can't escape it without being surrounded by it coming from God's Word. If I love you, I'm going to speak the truth of the Word of God to you. All right? If you love me, you're going to speak the truth of the Word of God to me. So if I have actions that are not biblical, you love me by saying, hey, Charles, what about what the Word of God says here? That is love. It's not just something that, obviously, in a case of just dealing with rebuke, obviously that's what I'm dealing with now, but it's also in everything. Hey, let me assure you. Let me edify you. Let me build you up. It seems like you're having a hard time. All right? Here, let me show you something that the Lord showed me when I was going through a hard time. That is love for the purpose of being able to grow. And really, as we're talking about in 1 Thessalonians 4, how Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians to grow in love, we're seeing it right here in Ephesians chapter 4. In other words, if I love you, I want to help you to be able to grow in your relationship with Christ. That's what edifying is. All right? Building somebody up. It doesn't take long to see how the world is doing and our country is doing things these days. It's tearing people down. All right? It's like if you don't like their opinion or don't like whether we just cancel culture, all that other stuff. Well, that's so opposite of what biblical Christianity is supposed to be. We shouldn't have that in biblical Christianity. We shouldn't have it where it's a difference of opinion or something like that, and that we're, you know, tearing each other down or just canceling each other. I won't spend any time with you. I won't talk to you. No. It should be, let us edify one another. Let us come to the Word of God together. Let me share with you what the Lord has shown me so we can grow thereby. I'll show you something else that biblical love is all about. It doesn't take long, really, to really lay out what it is. You're in chapter 4 of Ephesians? Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. This is one of the ways we're supposed to walk. In the book of Ephesians, I've said it before, that there's several different ways we're talking about walking. All right, five of those are positive things that we're supposed to walk. Two of those things are negative and how we're not supposed to walk anymore. But this is one of those positive ones. And notice what it says, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. All right, so we're encouraged. It's a commandment. We need to follow God. Well, how are we supposed to do that? Verse 2. And walk in love. How? As Christ also hath loved us. See, we've been taught already of God how we're supposed to love. And what has he done? And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Kind of points back to the Old Testament and the sacrifices of the lambs and so forth, and how that's a sweet-smelling savor to God. All right, this is something that smells good to God and living a life that is that of a sacrifice. Let me read those two verses again. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. When we talk about a biblical love, that means I'm going to walk like Christ walked. Well, how did Christ walk? He sacrificed. He gave of himself for me. Didn't have to do it, but he did. He loved me so much that he died on a cross for my sins. He suffered my hell. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. All right? That's how much he loved me. We can't even fathom the kind of love that would be. I mean, if I did something wrong that was deserving of life in prison, would you step up and say, you know what, Charles, I'm going to take that sentence for you? Would you do that? I love you so much, Charles, I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to give up my family. I'm going to give up my freedom to be able to, I will pay that debt for you so you don't have to do that. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. I mean, remember the nation of Israel, the religious leaders, they asked for Barabbas. I mean, Pilate was trying to get off of, you know, not have to make this decision, and he knew at that time that they could release a prisoner, and so Barabbas, he was a murderer, rebellious, insurrection, and all that. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, moved the people to ask for Barabbas instead of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ literally died in the place of a murderer. But he died in the place for me. That's biblical love. Now, again, it doesn't mean that we got to go out and die for one another. I mean, I'm not saying that we got to look for do something like that. But are we willing to sacrifice some time, something that we want to do, to be able to love a brother or sister in Christ out by helping them? By sharing truth with them? By helping them with whatever issues and problems that they may be? This is what we're talking about. And this is what the world needs to see, that what we say is not just empty words, but it's actually action to back up what we're saying. That's what the Bible word charity is all about. It's not just an emotion. It's not just some feeling. It's action. I love you, and you can see my love by what I am going to do for you. An offering. A sacrifice. So when we look at this, I mean, it's very simple. We didn't have to look far, did we? We understand what biblical love is? Speak truth. Help somebody to grow, to edify, to build them up, not tear them down. Biblical love, what it is? To walk like Christ walked and give ourselves an offering and a sacrifice. Reminds me of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We're talking about that we're supposed to live our life how? As a living sacrifice. In this day and age, we as human beings, I'm telling you, we are getting and growing even more selfish and selfish and selfish. It's all about me. What can I do for me? How can somebody else help me out? As opposed to, how can I help someone else out? It doesn't take long. Don't take long at all. Just turn on the TV. Look at what's going on in the world. How much of it is just selfishness? About focused on you. Forget about somebody else. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about what they're going through. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I. That's the Trinity that we're focused on. As opposed to, how can I help somebody else out spiritually? How can I help somebody else out emotionally? How can I help somebody else out physically? Because what? We're made in the image of God. Spirit, soul, and body. Instead of me, myself, and I, how can I help somebody, love somebody according to the truth of the Word of God in every aspect of their life? Physically, I'm going to do it in the order. Spiritually, emotionally, physically. If I have the means to be able to help them, am I willing to do that? That's biblical love. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, being taught of God. God's taught us how to do this. We've seen it. We've seen an example of Christ. We see the example of various different characters in the Word of God. It's right there for us. But we need to grow in that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we pick it up in verse 10. And it says this. Paul says, "And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia." I mean, you've demonstrated, Thessalonians, that you are doing this. You're loving like you're supposed to. Just look back at chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, the very book that we're in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look what it says in verse 3. This is one of the reasons why Paul was thanking God for the Thessalonians, because of what they were doing. And it says this in verse 3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Labor of love. Alright? That phrase right there shows you that love is going to take some work. It's going to take some work. It's not just going to be automatic sometimes. It's going to take some work. It's going to take a sacrifice. You look at chapter 3 of the same book. This is when we talked about the subject really last time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, down in verse 12. This is a prayer that Paul has for the Thessalonians. It says this, starting in verse 12. It says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you." I mean, they were the example. Paul, Silas, and Timothy was an example to the Thessalonians, so they would have, again, an example of how to do this. But notice what it says in verse 12. It says that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. That's going to be key. The Lord is the one that's going to give us the capacity to be able to do this, because we're not just talking about loving one another, as far as our brothers and sisters in Christ, people in the church, but it says all men. And we all know that there's some people out there that are hard to love. But again, we're not talking about emotions or feelings. We're talking about what? Am I ready to love somebody that is maybe difficult to love, that I don't naturally have an attraction to, in a sense, as far as I want to be friends with them or whatever? Am I ready to be willing to share truth with them if they're going through tough times? Am I willing to even develop a relationship so they would even know to want to come to me to be able to ask for guidance or spiritual help? Or I just never give them the time of day? I am not standing up here saying that I have this down. I don't. There are people in my workplace that's like, I have nothing in common with them. The way they live their life, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But the Bible says I'm supposed to love who? All men. There's no caveat, because he specifically says, love the brethren, love those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. But then it says, all men. And aren't we here to reach the lost? We can't reach them if we're not even willing to have a friendship or develop a relationship to say, hello, how you doing? How are we going to reach that person? A lot of times we think, obviously this person is stuck up, they're conceited or whatever, because they don't even want to even talk to me. They don't even want to say hi. That could be the opinion that they form, because we just never want to say anything to them. I get it. There are some personalities out there that are hard to deal with. But oftentimes, do we ever think about what people think about us? Maybe they're thinking the same thing about us. And that can all be dispelled if we simply take the time to say, hey, how you doing? How was your weekend? How you doing? Start developing that. This is what we're talking about, because you know what? When Jesus Christ died on the cross and suffered our hell, when he loved us to do that, for us, we weren't even born yet. And when we were born, and when we had an understanding of what right and wrong and sin and so forth, and we understood what the gospel is and everything like that, Jesus Christ still died for us even before we ever accepted that truth. And we're not born with having a relationship with God. We're born in a sinful nature, and that sin takes us away from God. There's no relationship there. And the only way that sin bridge is going to be covered is going to be through what Jesus Christ did. We have to accept that. My point is, and what I'm trying to get out here is, Jesus Christ loved us while we were still sinners. And if we're supposed to biblically love like Christ, that means we're supposed to love the person that we don't, in a sense, would naturally get along with. Why? Because the Lord wants to reach them too. And He wants to use us to do that. And if we're going to grow and increase in love, it's not just a matter of loving the brethren, loving the people that we get along with. It's even showing the love of Christ to those that can care less about God. That's something to think about. Well, how do we have the capacity to do something like that? Well, again, it's within Christ. There's no way. If it's dependent on what we can muster up, we know that's not going to work. But God gives us the ability to be able to grow and increase and abound in that biblical love that he has for us. We're able to do that. I want you to turn back to Galatians. Again, this is not a new message or something that I think is even hard to understand. It's one of those things that's hard for us to actually put in practice. But God gives us, from the moment that we get saved, Christian, He gives us the ability to be able to love. To love like He loves. Now, again, we're never going to outmatch the love of God. I'll show you a verse and dealing with that in a second. But He gives us the capacity to be able to love beyond our own capability. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, I want you to look at the fruit of the Spirit down in verse 22. It's the nine fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. And I want you to notice the first thing that it is. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He fills us with the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us right now. And notice what it says, what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, first thing is love. And then it says joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Those nine fruit of the Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and that nine fruit of the Spirit is there in us. It's just a matter of, are we going to use it or not? Are we going to allow God to grow us in these areas? We have it, but are we going to use it? All of us probably know somebody that we look at them and it's like, man, this person has great potential if they ever use it. They've got talent, they've got abilities, they've got means, but and we can see that in them, but yet they're not doing anything with it. They're squandering it. And we can see it, it's like, man, if they would just get their act together, they could go far. I see the potential in them. All of us probably know somebody like that or have known somebody like that. What about God in heaven right now? Looking at us. Man, they've got such great potential because I've given it to them. They accepted my Son, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and I filled them with the Holy Spirit of God, and they have that potential to love. To have that joy. To have that peace, to be able to deal with people according to long suffering, to be gentle with people, meekness, the temperance, the self-control. They have all of that within themselves with the Spirit of God. And not only that, if they were praying to me, if they were spending time in the Word of God and feeding that new nature that they have in Christ, man, they can go so far if only they would get their act together. See, there's no way we can love like God wants us to love without utilizing the Spirit of God that He's given us with that fruit of the Spirit. I'll give you another reference. Since we're in Galatians, I just want you to go over to Ephesians again. It's the next book over, but this time Ephesians chapter 3. God has unlimited capacity of love to help us to be able to love one another. In Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 17 through 19. It says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, notice by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Remember at the beginning of this message I talked about the two things that people like to fake? What were they? faith and love. And it says here that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. How do I get rooted and grounded in love? It's not just an emotion. It's not just a feeling. It's a relationship with the Lord. It's the truth of the Word of God. That's how I get rooted in love. How I grow in that. Why? Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height. Four different measurements. Four dimensions. Not three-dimensional, four-dimensional. We don't have time to deal with that. But he goes on and it says in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The might comes in because it depends if we're going to choose to allow that incredible love to be working in our life or not. We've got the potential. We've got the ability. God has given us everything to be able to do that. It's just a matter if we're going to allow Him to do that. A couple other things here. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10. I'll read it. It says, indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all of Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Don't be satisfied where you're at with your capacity to love one another. They are doing this. Like I said, this has been a great church. We haven't ran into anything to where Paul has to rebuke them about something that they're doing wrong against the Word of God. They're doing everything really well. But Paul says you need to grow in that. When it comes to love, you're taught of God. You're doing it. You love all the brothers of Macedonia and so forth. But here's what we want. We want you to grow, to increase in that. All right? And the way to do that is to continue to grow in our walk and relationship with the Lord, obviously. But I want you to notice some things here. I want you to go back to just the previous book real quick, and that's the book of Colossians. So one book back from 1 Thessalonians to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19, and this should be, in a sense, a little bit familiar because it's like the same aspect of what we've seen in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 earlier. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 18. It says this, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And let me explain verse 18 before we move on to verse 19. As we've been laying out, especially in the last couple of messages, God has reward for us. If we are serving Him and doing what He would have us to do, there's reward for us at the judgment seat of Christ. And He's warning Paul here to the Colossians, don't let anybody beguile you, to deceive you, to take that reward that you could potentially have away from you by, as it says here, voluntary humility. It's like, what's wrong with that? That seems like being humble is a good thing. Worshipping of angels, well, we've got some problems there. Start dealing with that. It says, intruding into those things which are He has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Let me just break it down to you real simple what Paul is talking about here. Don't be deceived by a false religion. That's what's being laid out there. Alright? A lot of details that we could go into from that verse. Alright? But just in a nutshell, don't get deceived by religion. Alright? Religion. I mean, people ask me, Charles, you're religious. We are pastors. You gotta be religious. I'm like, I'm not religious. Not religious. I'm not religious. Do not insult me by saying I'm religious. Because religion is exactly what we're reading in verse 18. Somebody deciding what they think how they need to worship God. Vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind. And getting into all kinds of bad doctrines and wrong things. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with God. And that's what verse 19 goes on and says. It says, and not holding the head. That word is capitalized because that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already seen that from Ephesians chapter 4. He's the head of the body. And so he goes on in verse 19 and says, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Again, this growth that's happening. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in love. He wants us to grow in all things. And it comes down to us focused in on that love relationship that we have with God and His Word and helping one another out in that. I want you to notice that word knits together. Like I said, this verse is really similar to what we've already seen in Ephesians. Alright? But we get a different aspect of it. Again, we see how the body is supposed to work together to be able to nourish one another, to edify one another, to build each other up. But it says being knit together. Now you guys know I love to knit. I do it all the time. I got sweaters, I don't know how to knit. But we understand the idea of knitting, weaving whatever something together, that they are interlocking, they are together, all right? That sort of thing. And it's like, as believers in Christ, as the body of Christ, we're supposed to be knit together so that we're able to function together, that we're able to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish together, to continue for us to be able to grow together. That's why it's important that all of us have a walk and relationship in the Lord so that we can even grow even better than that, because we're all kind of feeding and helping one another. That word knit is interesting. And I want to take you back again to the Old Testament for a relationship, an example of a relationship that was knit together. I want you to go back to 1 Samuel. Now, in your Bible, you got the first five books of Moses, you know, Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy. Then you have the book of Joshua and Judges. Then you have the book of Ruth. And then you're going to have 1 Samuel. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to look at the first four verses. 1 Samuel chapter 18. This is after David and his battle with Goliath, defeating Goliath in chapter 17. And Saul is the king at the time, and Saul is not doing what's right. He's not really following God. And David is the one that's going to be anointed king after. This is the one that God wanted to be king of Israel, as far as David. Now, Saul has his son, one of his sons, Jonathan, and a relationship that Jonathan had with David really is a great Old Testament example of what we're talking about here as far as how we should be as far as the body of Christ is concerned. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, let's pick it up in verse 1. It says this, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David," intertwined, "and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day," speaking of David, "and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." Proof of that, look at verse 4. "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." It's like Jonathan loved David as his own soul, gave his own clothing to him, and gave him a sword and a bow. And that's really what I want to focus on. Because if I love you, if my soul is going to be knit with you, if I'm going to help you to grow in your walking relationship, I'm going to give you a sword. I'm going to give you the ability to be able to fight all the dangers that are in the world. As a pastor, as a brother in Christ, it doesn't even mean not to be a pastor, just as a brother in Christ, if I love you like I love my own soul, I'm going to give you the ability to be able to fight against the things of this world. A sword, which happens to be a picture of the Word of God. You remember how we define love first in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15? Speaking the truth in love. That same book of Ephesians in chapter 6 that lays out the armor of God in verse 17 talks about having the sword, the spirit of the Word of God, or the spirit of the Word, the sword that is the Word of God. All right? It all fits together. If I love you, then my actions should show it, like you see with Jonathan and David. We can get into more of that because David is a picture of Christ. What are we willing to do for Christ and serving Him? That aspect of it as well. Alright? My point is this. This is, again, not a difficult message or anything like that, but hopefully you see enough that biblical love goes far beyond just a feeling, just an emotion. It's about sacrifice. It's about walking like Christ, how He gave Himself an offering and a sacrifice. It's about speaking the truth in love. It's about helping others out, not being focused on yourself. It's about being focused. How can I help somebody else out? How can I help their spirit? How can I help their soul? How can I physically help them if they need that or whatever? Like, at times, hey, I don't have a truck. Borrow a truck. Borrow a truck from Kurt and them, you know, to be able to do something. Whatever the case is, all right? I mean, this is what we're talking about, being focused on others. And I know sometimes it can be hard. Yesterday, one of the things I did, and one of my karate students, he'd asked me, he's 18, and, you know, he's asking about guns. He has a friend of his that was, you know, asking to see if he wanted to get a gun and start being able to shoot and stuff like that. And he's never shot a gun before. And so he'd asked me, you know, about it. And I said, hey, I'd be more than happy. Show you the ropes, take you out and stuff like that. I did that yesterday. Now, there's a part of me that would be like, and I don't know if he'll listen to this, but there's a part of me that was like, I would rather not do this in a sense because I have a lot going on this next week. I gotta get ready to get out of town. I got church prep, all this other stuff. I just got off work in the morning time, so I didn't have a lot of time to sleep and all this other stuff. And it's like, but you know what? Time with him is going to be so much more important. I got time to do everything I need to do. I need to take some time out of my schedule to be able to help him. I know we talk about things. He's a Christian. He's a believer. You know, he kind of wants me to be a mentor to him and things like that. So we talk about different things. It's like, it may not have been the most convenient time for me to do this, but it's what was needed. And I think about how many times that people have sacrificed time out of their life to help me with something when it wasn't probably a convenient time for them. Right? And it's like, this is what we're talking about. Being focused on others. It doesn't mean that you don't take care of your own stuff and situations. We understand that. But are we focused on helping others to be able to grow? I want to leave you with one more verse and we'll be done because I have talked long enough. I want you to go to the book of 1 Corinthians real quick, chapter 16, and we'll end it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to pick it up in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 16, starting in verse 14. I love these verses here. And we talk about what is ministry, what it is to increase and grow in love, and being focused on helping others, ministering to others. Notice this example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 14, it says, let all your things be done with charity. Well, that's love. That's love in action. Everything, all your things. Charity. Even when I go to work at my job, how am I doing that with charity? All right? No matter what it is. All the things that encompass my life, let me do it with charity. An example of a living sacrifice, an example of what Jesus Christ did. And then it goes on in verse 15, it says this, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have, notice, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The only time in Scripture the word addicted is ever used. The only time. You guys have been around here a while, you know, I've laid that out before. The only time the word addicted is used in Scripture. You won't even find the word addict anywhere. It's only this time, and it's in the context of what? Ministry to others. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They are so focused on serving others and edifying others and helping them in their walk and relationship with Christ that they are addicted to it. We all understand addictions. There's all kinds of addictions that are out there. And when people are addicted to something, they don't feel right. They don't do right until they get their addiction taken care of for a moment. Imagine being addicted to ministry. It's like, if I don't minister to somebody, if I don't help somebody out, if I don't love somebody biblically, then I start getting all shaky and going through withdrawal. Looking for my next fix. You guys know my job. There's times when I see people in their addictions. We all know this is a serious meth problem. Have you ever seen somebody that's tweaking on meth? It's just sad that that's your life. only thing we should be addicted to in this life is ministering to others. Growing in that love that God has given us through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Allow God to grow that in us, to be able to share, again, the truth with others. To a place that it's like, you know what, my life is focused on no matter what I do, no matter where am I at, to being able, how can I love somebody biblically? Obviously, my brothers and sisters in Christ, but showing that love of God to those who are lost so they can have that opportunity to be able to accept Christ and to be able to grow in their relationship. That's what it is. And again, it's like an incredible passage to look at a couple of verses, especially with a church, that they're doing well. It's not like they weren't loving. It's not like they weren't doing a job. But we should never get to the place to where we stop growing, and including, and obviously, in dealing with biblical love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you for these two verses. Again, nothing hard to be understood. Or simple. But it's a matter of, are we going to do it? I'm just reminded of what you showed me today in my own personal reading. That are we going to do things at your word? Are we going to be obedient, follow your direction, or not? Because this is something that is a command to us. And as we saw at the beginning of this chapter, if we're going to walk and please you, we need to do the things that you have commanded us to do. Well, this is one of the things you've commanded us to do, is to increase and abound in our love one toward another. Help us to allow this to sink in, this word, and allow it to grow in our lives. And as we have opportunity, Lord, help us to love one another by sharing truth, to love one another by having a life that is an offering and a sacrifice, loving one another, showing how, what can I do to help someone else out and not just be focused on me, myself, and I? Lord, again, I thank you for the things that you've shown us. Help us to sink in. Help us to apply it. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.